I would like to welcome all of you for your first workshop, which in some ways might be very important to you. A workshop means we are going to work with the concepts we heard in the discovery lecture and hopefully experience them. I would like to first of all start with Bhaktivinoda Thakur today. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the pioneer of Krishna consciousness in the modern times, has really framed the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He has set a very nice orientation for all devotees. He has said that chanting Krishna's holy names is the foremost and sole dharma of a devotee. This means that to chant has the greatest importance for a devotee of Krishna, a Vaishnava. Vaishnavera dharma, it's the dharma, the heartbeat, the pulse of all Vaishnav practice. And he then, in the second line of his verse, explains why this is so. He says, from the holy name, Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities and pastimes gradually manifest. So you have here what is called a revelatory spirituality. That is, you do one practice and it reveals an entire world from this practice. Almost like you put one seed in the ground and from the seed a whole banyan tree, a massive banyan tree, expanding sometimes a kilometer or two, there can be so big, with fruits and so on, comes if you, of course, nourish it and resplendish it nicely. Before Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the very famous Vaishnav Jayadev Goswami. We found an ancient picture of him. This is how he was supposed to look like. He was not supposed. It is said he looked like. He had this lute and he would compose poetry and then sing it with a sweet voice. And he sang a beautiful song. I don't know the... I couldn't find the notes. It would have been really nice, where he spoke about the descent of the holy name. The holy name comes into our ears and moves us so much that in the heart, that as a result of being so moved, tears spring forth in the eyes and muddy the ground. This idea of something moving us finds its expression in your daily life when someone flushes and becomes red. There is some romantic feeling usually in the heart when that happens. Or when someone knits his eyebrows, there is usually an angry movement in the heart. So here, Jayadev Goswami speaks of a spiritual movement in the heart that erupts in physical signs like tears in the eyes. Please read along with me because it's very poetic and subtle what he writes. Oh Harinam, you... Yeah, that's also nice, but I wanted to read it to you first, and then... Yeah. But if you want, we can say it after some time. Let me first... Oh Harinam, you enter my ear and touch my heart, and tears flow from my eyes and fall to the ground, making soft clay where my footprints are left, for my successors to follow my way. Isn't it beautiful, that image of a God-intoxicated chanter who chants, the name comes through the ears and the heart, and the spontaneous result is tears, which I imagine flow down his eyes, they come on his chest, they come on, and they come further down. It must be a deluge of tears because they are not captured by the dhoti. They continue on and go on the ground, and where he then walks, there are his footprints left for everyone to see and follow. These are some statements, so to say, that are meant to convince us of what follows now. My dear devotees, chanting should not be a mechanical platform, something to spend the time with. Chanting should move our hearts with divine inspirations and divine feelings. And to come to that, we will do a little exercise in a little while. I want to invite our Banu Nandini to make a little exercise with you that helps you to understand where you are now and what could be your next steps, so to say.
So, Hare Krishna, as we have seen yesterday, we will retain only as much knowledge as we really apply, what the teachings are. And because
5% we attain when we listen to Satchinanda Swami, not more.
And Maharaj has shared already some very, very deep points in this morning's class, which relates to our chanting practice and the question why it doesn't work for us. So in order to prime ourselves for the workshop, to be able to really receive what Maharaj is going to teach, we are going to do a little reflection exercise, and we will distribute now to you these papers. So by the distributing, I'll just share one little insight from psychology. So one therapist and philosopher, he said, you can't exit the room which you have not entered. So how can we move, how can we grow, how can we move forward in our life if we cannot become aware of where we are now? So in order to really move forward, we have to gain some awareness of our present condition. Or in other words, if we want to experience deep healing in our life, we first need to really sit with some deep emotions before we can let go of them. So this is the principle, this is the understanding. So we have taken this principle and combined it with what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, which is that every 2 weeks on the Kalashi we should reflect, look back on our spiritual practice. Where were we 2 weeks back, how well have we done, and how far have we come now? So I think you all by now, or the majority has the papers. So this reflection exercise is really in the spirit of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, mixed or combined with some modern research. And on the first page of the exercise, you see it says reflection exercise on the top, so this is the first page. You have the first prompt, which says, what motivates me to chant? So there you have different options. Please go through them. And really, you can select all that apply to you. It can be several, it can be only two, or you can even write your own. But for this to work, you really need to be honest. So don't think that you need now to cross out the thing which you would like to develop. No, this is about where you are now. So are you mainly chanting because you gave a promise at initiation? Is this what really, like every day, makes you chant your rounds? So really try, go deep inside and just be honest with yourself. You're not going to show this to anybody else. And you can also, if you have any other reason, write it there. Just reflect about it. So we are really trying to see and get some awareness of where we are now in our chanting. So then the next prompt is, but what is my aspiration really? Where do I wish to be? And there it says, pause for a moment, you may even close your eyes. The idea is to really go deep inside and just see what Maharaj was teaching this morning. There is this part in us, there is this side to us that we really long for Krishna. It is there, we just need to access it. So while doing this exercise, try to think of your best moments in chanting, or try to see, really connect with that side in you and just write down your aspiration. So this is going to help you from where am I now to where I wish to be. So you're going to experience, to see that there's a gap actually between our ideal chanting and where we are now. And then you turn the page, and in the next prompt it says, what is my prayer? And it says, now keeping your aspiration in your heart, turn it into a prayer to the Lord. So then you really try to write a little prayer to Krishna, how you think he can help you so that you can close this gap. Okay? And then the fourth prompt is just a little action that you can take. And there you can just review your sankalpa, because you have already done this yesterday. If not, you can do this now. And this is going to really prime us for the exercise or the workshop that Maharaj is going to give. Because then we can be more present.
Yeah.
See, okay, I'm really hearing my chanting, I want to get there, and Maharaj is going to give us some really powerful practice, so this exercise should help us really to take it very seriously. So we will have 10 minutes time for this, and everybody will do it on their own, in their own time, and we will not have any background music for this, because we will do it in silence. So after 10 minutes, we will give you a signal. And then wherever you are, you can just stop, no problem, and you can finish the exercise later, because we need to also carry on with the workshop. Any questions, or is it clear?
Just ask if everybody has a paper.
Yeah, does everybody have the paper? Okay, good. So, Hare Krishna.
When I have filled in these questions and crossed the points, It helped me really to come to that space where I would engage with the holy name. And this is, you know, when we give such a retreat, it's so condensed, 2.5 or 3 days altogether, and it takes some time for all of us to really arrive at the place where we deeply engage with the holy name, because so often life forces us to engage with our WhatsApp messages, with our works, with the complicated, sometimes complicated, or at other times very fulfilling aspects of our relationships. We are so much outwardly facing Bahirmukha that in a short time we have to come close. Can I hear some just things, what points in the audience? We don't need to have a microphone for this. What did you write when we asked, what motivates me to chant? What did you cross, or what did you creatively write when the other reasons were, when you were asked to point out the other reasons. Not all at once, a little private. I wrote what motivates me to chant, longing for spiritual experience, to take shelter really. This motivates me when I don't always think that I please Krishna with my chanting, or should please Krishna. That's not so much in the foreground of my mind. It's just a longing for spiritual experience. And the same, what is my aspiration for my chanting? There I had very high expectations. I'm too shy to reveal them here in public. What is my prayer? I remembered simply, please, Krishna, please remind me to always chant. And also, please remind me to create the mental environment in which the name will reveal himself. If I'm too much engaged in collecting huge amounts of money and doing all these things which we sometimes do in order to spread the movement, I'm too much in that world. So please remind me to create the mental environment. That means I'm reading. I heard yesterday that one devotee who works a full 8-hour job reads every day 2 hours. Wow, I was thinking, before I go to bed, let me at least read half an hour, you know, and so on. So please, this helps you, these questions, to become present. And then what we can try to do here is we can give you some real experience. As I don't know if this was very clear, after my I will give a short talk and then I will give you a breakthrough practice. Then we will have a short break and then there will be, I will request all the devotees, the kirtaniyas, kirtan leaders to come and then we will field your questions. Now, I was forgetting this morning. There is this box or basket in which you can throw in your questions. So we have made this system so that we will not lose time in you know, fielding questions. But maybe for today, when there are not enough questions in the box, we will call upon you. So that will come in a moment. My dear devotees, do we have enough air? I don't think so. Is it possible to somehow open these things? And also, I understand, I also don't like to open the window behind my back so that my neck doesn't become stiff. But some of you, I think are very mercifully. It's broken. One open, one thing we, and this here, there should be a button somewhere.
It's open a bit, but it can't go more because it's raining, so.
I don't see rain.
I know, but the machine says it's raining and it doesn't want to open.
Aha, the machine, yes. My dear devotees, this will happen more and more. Artificial intelligence is taking over. It's not raining, but it says rain, and it is rebellious. No problem. My dear devotees, as you could see in the last quote of Jayadev Goswami, there was a very nice... It's a nice poem. He says, I will walk ahead of you. I will give you an example. Just watch my footsteps. You will see them in the soft clay, which is moistened by my ecstatic tears. So we always need examples in life. And before I come to the breakthrough exercise, I want to tell you something about a lesser known Vaishnavas. He's known as Bhakta Kavi Gopal Krishna. Bhakta Kavi Gopal Krishna. He was born in 1784, he's quite modern, so to say, in a town called Paralekamundi. That's in Orissa, and so on. He was initiated in the line of Syamananda Prabhu. You know, this is all they have, the ideas of Narottam Das Thakur. And he was born as the fifth child to his parents. All his brothers and sisters who were born before him died quickly after they were delivered, after they were born. But when this Gopal Krishna came out of the womb, there was a bright flash around him, which was so luminous that both of his parents, mother and father, fainted. That's a birth. That has style. He grew up and he was quite restless in his youth. It is described that he was an extraordinary good martial arts fighter. Don't mess around with Gopal, was the talk of the town. He became especially skillful in the art of fighting with a sword. He was a sword's master, if you would like it. One day he came upon the poetry of Rupa Goswami and liked the poetry so much that he wanted to translate it into the Orissian language. But that night, when he was just trying to translate the Chattu Pushpanjali, it's a composition which is Chattu Pushpanjali, which glorifies Srimati Radharani. That very night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him in his full glory and said, "You cannot understand Rupa Goswami's writing on your own. You need to take Diksha, initiation, in the line of Rupa Goswami," which he then did. Syamananda and all these follow Rupa Goswami. And before you touch Krishna Leela, you need to sing about Gaura Leela. These are some very, very esoteric concepts. So he did this. He followed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He made himself knowledgeable about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, and he forgot his sword and his fighting spirit. He was always immersed in love of God and became one of the beloved Gaudiya Vaishnavas poets in Odisha. Now, when he was immersed in love of God, he would inscribe poems on the wall of his bedroom, which, as far as literary heritage, was not a good idea, because he soon had all the walls in his bedroom full with poems, and then he whitewashed them to write new poems there. He was so attracted to Krishna consciousness, and the realizations about Krishna came to him like a steady flow of inspiration, that he would write his poems on a palm leaf, and when visitors came or people came who wanted to learn from him, he gave his poems away as a gift to them. No wonder then that only 620 poems of his poetry output are left. You will see many dance performances which are done in Odisha based on his amazing poems. But let's get to the point. A person's real nature, good or bad, is revealed at the time of death. Let us therefore hear about his amazing departure. It was in the year 1862, the poem has just turned 78 years old, when he understood, "My day has come." Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj would say, "My chariot is already before the door." And he first completed his morning activities, hygienic activities and so on, pujas. Then he started the Maha Mantra on his Japa Mala, sitting in perfect Padmasan. And he wrote at that, for a moment, he put his Japa Mala to the side and wrote his last poem, which is just so thrilling that I can't resist. I have to read some of it to you. Are you curious?
Yes.
Because you will see what is in his mind at the time of his departure. I see the trees and the creepers in the forest on the bank of Radhakund. I will call their names with affection, Jyoti, Kadamba, and I will pay obeisances to all these trees, and I will embrace each and everyone. Why? Is he an environmentalist? No, the reason is in Vaishnava understanding, you understand that the trees are witness of Radha and Krishna's daily pastimes. And because they are trees at Radhakund, they see, or they are privy to see, the divine leela of the divine couple as they bathe in the kund, as they sprinkle themselves with water, and so on and so forth. So I will pay obeisances to the tree. Then I will pray, Alas, reveal to me the divine couple. At that time, in the fine sand, I will see the lotus footprints of Radha and Krishna. Immediately, I will roll on the ground there, and looking upon the Lord's wonderful form of eternal pleasure, I will feel unlimited joy and will stay there at his lotus feet. So as he was riding, he felt, now my chariot really comes. I can't write poetry at the moment. And he turned around and wrote a last poem on the wall, and then he departed. The last poem he wrote was, Jiva Jiva Bilako Hoila Saja Radha Govinda Bhaja. Oh, Jiva soul, now you are going to leave this world. Pray to Radha Govinda. Radhe, 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 Govinda, Radhe. Radhe, Radhe, Govinda. One more time. Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. Amazing, amazing, amazing to have a darshan at the moment shortly before he leaves of Radha and Krishna's lotus footprints in the fine sand at Radhakund's banks, and then to follow these footprints and see or have the divine darshan. What a glorious departure. Now, one of the poems which we know, which did not get lost when they were written on the walls. One of the last poems is this. It's actually a song. I will not try to sing it because I don't really know. In this song, he says, these names, he starts, O mind, always chant the names of Radha and Krishna. Then he says, these names are sweet and blissful and are the full eternal manifestation of the Supreme Lord. Be peaceful, my mind. Be satisfied and don't think you require anything else. And in the next shloka, he gives us an idea how we should chant, and this will be important for you to be, for your exercise. Just chant, and at the same time, as you're chanting, sprinkle upon your head, this is like sprinkling, the water of this understanding. This is the understanding. There is no difference between these names and Radha and Krishna themselves. He addresses his mind and he says, such names you have gotten that if you really would understand your good fortune, you will jump up and down, slapping your sides with your elbows out of happiness. I thought, when Prasadam comes, I will do this. You know? And can you? This is a very nice symptom of happiness. So, Gopal Krishna got this opportunity in his life. O mind, wherever you may go and whatever you may do, always chant these holy names. So these are some realized descriptions of chanting the holy name with a deep spiritual involvement of the mind. It is very simple. You chant and at the same time you sprinkle over your mind the understanding Radha and Krishna are there. Our subject matter today is love. What a great way to introduce a lecture. Or if you are a typical Hare Krishna devotee who feels uncomfortable when it gets deeper, we can say it like this. It is a technique how to leave the mental platform and come to a deeper spiritual level. And I personally have not seen a better way in my life than the following meditation, the breakthrough exercise, which I want to give you, which is becoming present to Radha and Krishna while you chant. This morning, not all of us were able to participate so early, so therefore I want to repeat this. This morning, we read to you an excerpt from an initiation lecture which Srila Prabhupada gave in 1968 in Seattle. We can imagine, I encouraged the devotees yesterday, the fire was burning, the devotees were sitting around the fire, probably praying to Krishna that when Prabhupada would call them forward and ask what are the four rules and regulations, they wouldn't forget one. That was a great concern of us because we were always so excited. I do remember once Prabhupada called forward a devotee from Germany who was a butcher before. And he got all the three regulative principles together. And then Prabhupada said, and then the devotee said, Prabhupada, he was a butcher. Acha. No meat eating, he said. So we were always afraid when we would be called that we would forget something. But Prabhupada made a point. He went right to the point. How could we make best use of his gift to chant the holy name? He said, as soon as you chant Hare Krishna, this means that Krishna is dancing on your tongue. Wow! As soon as you chant, this means you should be careful. As you offer so much respect to your spiritual master as soon as he is present, so if Krishna is present on your tongue, how much more careful you should be. You should always know that Krishna is there. My dear devotees, while in Vrindavan, I met many chanters who chant more than 64 rounds, who chant really very, very regularly for 30, 40, 50 years, tremendous amounts, and they do kirtan during the day also. It's amazing. And I asked one of them, what is your suggestion? What's your recommendation? And he said, Maharaj, it's very simple. Know that when you chant, the Lord is there and hears you, and your whole chanting will shift. He gave the same advice as Prabhupada here. Krishna is, when you chant, present. In fact, he dances on your tongue. So what we will do now is, I have turned this into something like a mini sentence, which we will show to you, that you become aware as you chant, be present, and I am here with you. If you can chant or maintain this feeling that you are chanting in the presence of Krishna, be present and know I'm here with you, your whole chanting will rise from the mental platform and the intellectual platform. It will actually go deeper into the heart, where you will chant with devotional feelings. Many of us are impressed by the deities Radha, Syam, Sunda in Vrindavan. These deities have won many of our hearts, and there is a WhatsApp application where you can get every day their photos. So I would like us to sing now for just a little while the holy name, and I would request whoever handles the computer to from time to time go back to this thing, be present and know I'm here with you. Can you repeat it? Be present.
Be present.
And know.
No.
I'm here with you.
I'm here with you.
Yes, and enter this into deeper and deeper understanding so that you chant in the presence of Krishna. We will sing. So I request all of you to sit straight. Do we have another melody, O Krishna? And take a few deep breaths. Best is through the nose. By the way, if you sometimes we can breathe out through the mouth, but through the nose, then you keep the prana inside. Yes. You might like to open your eyes for a moment and see the images of the deities. And as you sing now, let us make a conscious connection with Radha and Krishna, Radha, Syam, Sunda. And as if they talk to us, the message which they give to us is be present, be here now, and know that I'm there with you. You will see, if you keep with this understanding, you will sink to deeper and deeper levels in your awareness and in your consciousness until you actually arrive in your spiritual or devotional heart. And when that happens, only God knows what will take place. It's highly individual, in other words. So sinking through the different layers of our concerns, our mindsets, and arriving at a place where we are totally present in that relationship with Krishna, whatever that is. Be present and know that I am here with you. Be present, present, and know that I am here with you. Be present and know that I'm here with you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As we continue to chant, please very consciously chant every single name. We will take a little time and go slowly so that we can really stay with each name. And remain aware of this simple yet so profound statement. Be present and know I'm now here with you. Please let us all together sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You can think that you will enter deeper and deeper into each of the divine sounds. It's almost like sinking like a beautiful stone into a crystal clear water and coming to deeper and incremental deeper areas of that ocean of water. And just only let the mantra guide you. You don't need to think much except for being present and knowing that Krishna is now with you. Please sing. Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare.
only a few days ago on that scientific conference, I was asked on Sunday to introduce the professors to meditation. I mean, they knew about meditation. They had studied meditation, and I applied what I intend to publish in the upcoming book on meditation. And there is one secret. Yes, you practice Dehadharana, where they go. These are traditional ways where they center themselves and bring their mind to centering themselves. And then there is breathing, because you need to go from the physical to the mental platform, and the breath is the bridge. This is all traditional knowledge. You find it in the Hari Bhakti Vilas and so on. And then, to help people further, there are visualizations. But then comes the most important point. You know, everything is already there. Krishna is already in the heart. He doesn't have to be brought there by some conceptualization and so on. You are also already there in your best version as a pure soul with a pure consciousness. All what is required is that you sink in there, that you come into there, and you come into that space, no? And for us, we are doing meditation about sound. We are sound people, transcendental sound. We don't do so much these other meditation techniques. But the same principle is there. Sinking with your awareness. That means you leave the things that are on the surface, and you sink and think and think, and then you touch spirit, the spiritual essence of Krishna in the heart, and so on. It's a practice, my dear devotees. But if you do this, you will have phenomenal results. Really, we can talk a lot about swimming. You do this with the front legs, and this with the not front legs, with the arms. And this you do with the legs, and then you have the head over the water so that you don't drown, and you sing a nice mantra. Well, that's for devotees. So, but the experience of swimming, that delightful experience, I'm floating over water. My God, I'm swimming to America if this continues. That comes when you are doing it. It's a secret which comes only to the swimmers. I have observed many non-swimmers becoming swimmers, and when they got it, they couldn't understand the non-swimming life any longer. So chanting is also like this. Chanting, you learn chanting by chanting, just like you learn swimming by swimming. But this little thing, be aware of Krishna's presence. Know I'm here with, that he is saying, or he is communicating, I'm here with you, will give you experiences beyond that which words can express, and it will give you a happiness that the world cannot give you, and also not take away from you. It is not that we are after necessarily, our prime goal is personal happiness. We know that will come if we please the Lord as a byproduct. So this is a very good thing. You can type it in your mobile distraction machine and take it with you.